This is Jay Barris of Sidley Austin with the Mutual Fund Minute in Washington, D.C. Today, we're very fortunate to have with us SEC Commissioner Hester Peirce, who has been a commissioner since 2018. Commissioner Peirce is well-versed in matters relating to investment management, having served as senior counsel on the U.S. Senate Banking Committee, where she advised the committee on securities issues. Commissioner Peirce, who also served as counsel to SEC Commissioner Paul Atkins, has been a forceful voice on the commission, bringing her strong and often colorful points of view to the debate. Welcome to Mutual Fund Minute, Commissioner Peirce. Let's start with some of the big news of the moment. The Securities and Exchange Commission on January 10th approved a rule change for applications that allowed 11 exchange-traded products that will trade in spot Bitcoin to be listed and traded on a national securities exchange. Commissioner, in your January 10th, 2024 statement on the order, you said that today marks the end of an unnecessary but consequential saga, and more than 10 years after the filing after the first spot Bitcoin exchange-traded product. The application, the commission, finally approved multiple applications by exchanges to allow the listing and trading of spot Bitcoin ETPs. This saga likely would have spanned well beyond a decade were it not for the D.C. court ex machina. And you basically said that the commission squandered a decade of opportunities to do the job. What took so long, and what could the commission have done differently?
Well, Jay, thanks for having me here. It's great to be here. I will start with my disclaimer, which is that my views are my own views as a commissioner, not necessarily those of the SEC or my fellow commissioners, and that was the case in this instance as well. We didn't all see eye to eye on this, but I think now, as you mentioned, I've been a commissioner since 2018, and actually I've been calling on the agency to approve a Bitcoin exchange-traded product since 2018, so I was certainly happy to see that the approvals came. It unfortunately did take an extensive court nudge to get us to approve them, and I think that's really problematic. So while I'm happy to see the approvals, I think we do have to take a look at our process to make sure that we're applying our procedures uniformly across different types of products.
Okay, we'll come back to some of those issues a little bit later, but I really wanted to turn to the SEC's priorities and regulatory agenda. And of course, the commission has a three-part mission: protecting investors, maintaining a fair and orderly and efficient markets, and facilitating capital formation. Keeping these missions in mind, what should the commission's focus be going forward? And really, what can the commission do to make it easier for business to have access to capital?
I think you're putting your finger on the one element of our mission that we're really not spending a lot of time thinking about, which is facilitating capital formation. I think there are a number of steps that we could be taking to look at how companies of all sizes access capital. I'd like to do something like work on a micro-offering exemption, which would be a very streamlined exemption for small amounts of capital. I think we should revisit the issue of finders, which is something that we thought about putting a regulatory framework in place for finders, who are people who help match investors with small companies that are seeking capital. There's not a regulatory framework in place now that really accommodates the kinds of activities that I think would be useful. So we should work on developing something like that. And then I think we have to consider some broader questions around public markets and why aren't more companies deciding to go public? So what can we do to make the public markets a more attractive place to raise capital? And the reason I care about that, I think, ties to the investor protection objective of the SEC, which is ensuring that retail investors have access to a very broad range of investment opportunities. And really, retail investors are accessing capital through the public market, so that really is where most of their portfolio is going to come from. So the more we can encourage companies to enter the public markets and allow retail investors to share in the growth of those companies, I think the better off we are.
Well, that speaks to the second part of the question. What about the first part? What about the Commission's stated agenda as stated in its regulatory flex agenda? You've had some views on that before, saying that the flexibility agenda that they have published in the past sets forth flawed goals with a flawed method for achieving them. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, we're trying to do a lot at once, and I think that is not a good way to do it well. Everyone is spread very thin. That's people at the Commission as well as people outside the Commission trying to help us to shape our rules through comments. So I think it would make more sense for us to pick some priorities to work on, use concept releases, and use public roundtables to help us shape the proposals, and then the proposals will be more tailored, and that will allow us to get more focused comment. I do have some concerns about some of the actual policy items on the agenda, but I also have concerns about the procedure and the just the volume of rulemaking. And I think that will be particularly, the problems of that will be particularly evident as we move into implementation and you see competing efforts, there'll be different rulemakings competing for resources, implementation resources, and that could cause problems when the rules are actually implemented.
Okay, in the past, you've characterized the process as expansive, unworkable, rule proposals that include a myriad of questions. Is the Commission going too fast right now?
I think we're going too fast.
And do you see any change to this approach coming up, or are we going down this road?
Well, I think the realities of writing rules, and often these rules are very long and very complicated, often run up against ambitions to get things done faster. So I think that you see, for example, with the climate rule, it's a big rule, and it's taken us a long time, and so I think reality does slow the agenda down, but I still would argue we're moving too fast.
Well, let's turn to technology innovation. In June, the Commission proposed rules relating to conflicts of interest associated with the use of predictive data analytics by broker-dealers and investment advisors. In your comments to the rule proposals, you suggested that the proposal reflects the Commission's distorted thinking in its attitude toward technology, which you said is not neutral but hostile. What did you mean by that?
Well, that is a very strange rulemaking. It's open for comment, and we've gotten a lot of comment on it, and I'll be curious. I haven't had a chance to review all those comments. I'll be curious to see what direction we end up going with that rulemaking. But I think as proposed, it raised more questions than it answered. It was unclear how broad the reach was, but it seemed to reach a lot of technology. And so I think, and then put a real burden on any companies that were trying to use any of these technologies that are covered. And again, because the breadth of the technologies is pretty extensive, and it really will pull in a lot of firms that are using technology for all kinds of things. So what I think it could end up doing is preventing firms from using new technologies. They'll prefer to use the same technologies that everyone else uses because those are the ones that will have gotten the green check to, they'll feel safety in numbers in using those technologies. So that means that new innovations won't be put to work in the financial industry, and that would be a real shame. I think that would really harm investors who presumably can benefit from those better technologies that their financial firms use, and they can benefit both in terms of the kind of service they get, but also the prices that they're paying for that service. So those are some of the concerns that I have. Again, we'll see what comes out of the process. We did get a lot of comments to help us think that through, but to me, it read as a technology hostile rulemaking because it really does encourage firms to avoid using technology, to avoid the prescriptions of the rule.
What was striking to some of us reading it is that you could read it to capture a spreadsheet as part of the technology and subject to that rule. But looking beyond the conflicts of interest in predictive data analytics, what should the Commission's role be in encouraging the use of technology, especially with respect to AI?
I don't know that it's our job to encourage the use of technology. I think it's our job not to discourage the use, but to work with market participants who found potential uses for the technology and really work with them to address any new challenges that those new technologies raise from a regulatory perspective, but also to recognize the potential opportunities that those technologies bring, again, for providing better services and products to investors, which is the goal at the end of the day. And I hope that our experience with crypto will be a learning experience for us, and frankly, will help us to be better regulators when it comes to artificial intelligence, where we'll take a more open-minded view. Again, that doesn't mean ignoring potential risks that stem from AI, but it means having those conversations with people to figure out what we need to do on our side to ensure that people can use these technologies where it makes sense to use them.
Well, let's just turn to the crypto right now. I mean, you earned the moniker Crypto Mom, which I think, I don't know how you feel about that, but I think that it's really a misnomer because your focus really was not on that particular asset class, but on products in general and the process to get them to market, because the Commission is supposed to be, it's not supposed to be a regulator who makes determinations based on merit of particular investments. But now that the Commission has approved Spot Bitcoin, do you have any views on what the Commission's priorities with respect to digital assets should be going forward?
Well, I think you're right to point out that the Crypto Mom moniker obscures the larger point, which is that we really need to look at how we think about new products and services and make sure that we're applying a sensible approach. So that's a good point, and I think also a reason why the Crypto Mom moniker might not be a great message to send is that I'm constantly out there saying, we at the SEC do not tell you what products to invest in or not. That's your job. We're not your mom. We're not in a parental mode. In terms of where we should move with respect to crypto, there are a lot of questions out there about how our regulatory framework interacts with crypto, and I'd like us to spend some time dealing with those issues, whether they're issues around custody or around figuring out when the securities laws even applied to particular transactions. The water has been muddied by our approach of using enforcement to hash out those parameters, and this may be an area where Congress, which has already expressed an interest in weighing in, is ultimately the one that provides the clarity. But I think we can be working with industry and with other interested investor advocates and other interested parties in figuring out what makes sense in this space. And so that's what I'd like us to be doing now.
We've been talking with SEC Commissioner Hester Peirce, who has been sharing her views on regulation and the regulatory process. Thank you, Commissioner Peirce, for joining us today. Stay tuned for part two when we continue our conversation about the SEC's proposed safeguarding rule for investment advisors, liability of chief compliance officers, and other issues related to investment management. This is Jay Barris of Sidley Austin with the Mutual Fund Minute in Washington, D.C.
This presentation has been prepared by Sidley Austin LLP and affiliated partnerships, the firm, for informational purposes and is not legal advice. This information is not intended to create, and receipt of it does not constitute, a lawyer-client relationship. All views and opinions expressed in this presentation are our own, and you should not act upon this information without seeking advice from a lawyer licensed in your own jurisdiction. The firm is not responsible for any errors or omissions in the content of this presentation, or for damages arising from the use or performance of this presentation under any circumstances. Do not send us confidential information until you speak with one of our lawyers and receive our authorization to send that information to us. Providing information to the firm will not create an attorney-client relationship in the absence of an express agreement by the firm to create such a relationship, and will not prevent the firm from representing someone else in connection with the matter in question or a related matter. The firm makes no warranties, representations, or claims of any kind concerning the information presented on or through this presentation. Attorney Advertising, Sidley Austin, LLP, 1 South Dearborn, Chicago, Illinois, 60603, 1-312-853-7000. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome.